Man, thanks for joining us online. We just starting a new series, man, The Book of Jonah. Are you ready? A couple things about the Book of Jonah. You know, there's only four chapters. It's a short little book in the Bible. And, you know, it's typically, you know, Jonah is told to go preach to a place of Nineveh. He decides not to. He flees from God. We kind of see at the end of chapter one into chapter two, we find out that, you know, a big whale swallows him up, right? By the end of the chapter, he repents. The whale spits him out. Then in chapter three, God tells him again, now you can go preach. And he does it. And then we see in chapter four, his attitude, Nineveh repents. He's not happy about it. You know, everybody got that part of it down. You know what's crazy about this book is a lot of people don't believe the story was true. If you read commentaries, and I've looked at several of them, they believe it was like a dream. It really didn't happen. Or if you grew up in Sunday school, you see this whale and Jonah's like sitting there, you know, at a coffee table, sipping a cup of coffee, doing business with God. And yet, you know, almost like, and then he was, you know, 3 days later spit back out, like he was living the entire time. And then people will tell stories in history of like, oh yeah, they found a whale, you know, they cut it open and there was a guy in there and he was actually still living. Or they cut a whale open and there was 6-foot fish inside of this whale still living. So like, it's really possible, you know, kind of silliness. You know what the Bible says about Jonah? The Bible says, you know, Jonah's name appears only in the book of Jonah except one time in the Old Testament. And I'm going to show you that here in a second. But when you get to the New Testament, you know how it mentions Jonah? I'd like to show you this. If you want to, take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, it says this in verse 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You know, there are like 24 signs, you know, in the Old Testament that Jesus could have referred to. He chooses this one. When he spoke of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that's the gospel, right? 1 Corinthians 15, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he spoke of this, he quotes the book of Jonah. He said, this is the sign, the only sign to an evil and adulterous generation. It's the sign of the prophet Jonah. So the Bible teaches that if Jesus Christ really died, buried, and resurrected, then Jonah also would have died and then resurrected. So all of you commentaries out there, everybody that believes the story of Jonah might be a dream or not true, bottom line is if Jonah was a lie, then Christ is a liar. And we're not about to say that. So the Bible's true. In Matthew chapter 12, what a great verse, a great spot that Jesus goes to. So I think it's important for you and me to go to the book of Jonah. We know right now, just by what we've already been talking about, one thing the book of Jonah does teach us is it's going to teach us, it's a beautiful picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you know also, so death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but you know also it's a great prophecy. You know, Jonah is called to go to a Gentile city and preach. And so Jonah's also going to represent a group of 144,000 witnesses in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 11. And, you know, kind of like the Apostle Paul, when he came on the scene, everything was for the Jews. And then God says, you are going to bear my name to the Gentiles. And so, and Paul was born out of one born out of due season. Just like the 100, he's a picture of the 144,000. So not only is Jonah a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this book's also going to, it's going to be a picture of those Jewish missionaries or witnesses that are going to go to the world and proclaim the kingdom, right? And then the third thing that we're going to see, a great lesson that we're going to learn here, it's a spiritual lesson for us on life, conduct, chastisement, and the restoration of disobedient Christians. So Jonah was told to do something. He didn't do it. God responds, and God went to extreme measures to get him to obey. So those are the three things that we're going to really get out of this book. So, you know, one thing about Jonah before we start, it's I should say another thing about Jonah, is that it's a great book on God's character. You know, because what we've seen is Jonah repented, And so God repented. Like, God changed his mind. This is God's character, right? Jonah repented, so all of a sudden, God repents. So when people repent, God's willing to change. It's a beautiful story of choice, right? Another thing is that God is always a step ahead of us. You'll see this all through this book. So God is always fulfilling and planning the way. And matter of fact, the word prepared is used 4 times in this book. God had a fish prepared. Then he had a gourd prepared. Then God prepared a worm. And then God prepared an east wind to come in. God is always prepared. Basically, he's always a step ahead of us. Never play chess with God. You'll lose every time. Then another thing is God will use whatever it takes to get us to obey his word. God will go to extreme measures. And I personally know this in our family with my youngest daughter. We prayed for God to get her heart, and she ended up getting leukemia, cancer. And God really, really used it in her life. And actually this week, we're sending her off to college, man. She's doing well. Her heart's right with the Lord. She wants to go to Christian school, and she wants to do great things for God. But God used cancer. This is our God. He'll go to extreme measures to get us to obey his word. And this is also the book of Jonah. So I hope this is a real blessing to you over the next couple months as we do this. So let me start off in Jonah chapter 1 in verses. Let's just cover verses 1 through 3 today. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So let's pray and ask God to be the teacher here. Give us the goods on this one. Lord, please open this up and help me to be clear as I'm looking at the preparations I've made and looking at your word. And I pray that this book can be a real blessing to all of us. I pray for the wayward believer that it would draw them back. Lord, I pray that we would learn of your character and that we would be motivated to walk with you and to be in tune with your presence and not always wanting to flee from it when it's difficult. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, here we go. So one of the first things that says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, right? That's beautiful. God's word came to him. And God wanted him to go preach, right? And so just like God's word has come to you and me, we know what it says. We're not foolish, right? Did you know Jonah's name means dove? Dove. His father's name, this Amittai guy, his name means my truth. Well, you know what the dove pictures in the Bible, several times in scripture, like in Matthew chapter 3, it says the Spirit of God descended upon Christ. Remember when he was baptized? And it says, the Spirit descends like a dove. So this dove definitely pictures the Spirit of God. And then we see his father's name means my truth. Well, you know what truth is? John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it's the picture of the Bible. So it's just interesting here at the very beginning of this, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, you know, like his name means dove, Spirit of God, the son of Amittai, his dad's name means truth. So got truth, got the Spirit of God, and before you know it, God tells him to go cry against this city, and you know what he does? He flees. He runs. He disobeys. Here's our first point. All the pieces can be in place. All the pieces can be right there. And we can still be disobedient. Like everything can be right in our lives. We can still choose wrong. This is exactly what Jonah did. Romans 6 and verse 16 says, to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. And so we can still yield to wrong, right? Even though everything's right, all the peace, Spirit of God's inside, you got the Word of God. Some people always wonder this when they see a Christian not doing right. It bothers them. Some people even go extreme and say, well, that girl must not be saved then. Oh, really? There's examples all through the Bible. Hey, what about David? Remember David? He is called in the book of Acts a man after God's own heart. And what's that guy do? Man, he sleeps with the neighbor's wife and then decides to kill her husband to try to cover up this sin. I mean, how much worse can that get? A murder, adultery, and yet he's a man after God's own heart. So let's never forget this. We're all vulnerable to doing wrong. We all still have a choice. You can have the Spirit of God inside, the Word of God at work. We can still choose wrong, right? And so, you know, another thing, a lot of people, when they look at the book of Jonah and they're like, man, God told him, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. You know, Nineveh is a Gentile city. You know, Jews and Gentiles are, right, two opposites, right? Enemies, you know, any way you want to look at that. But you know what's interesting about this? I've always, like, when I studied this, just thought that, oh, he's prejudiced. Like, we can all find groups of people that we might, you know, be against or not quite click with, you know. And it's like, he didn't want to go there because he didn't want these people that were like, that he did not like. He did not want them getting right with the Lord. Like, almost like he hated them. And I do think there's some of that. But let me give you another twist, another turn on this. We find Jonah's name mentioned in the Old Testament, just in the book of Jonah, except in 2 Kings, because this is exactly when Jonah's life took place, this era of time. 2 Kings, so if you want to, take your Bibles and make your way to 2 Kings, and I'd like to show you a few pieces of Scripture here. In 2 Kings chapter 14, look at verse 25, it says this, 2 Kings 14:25. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering in of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. So basically, Jonah is speaking already, and he's prophesying to the nation of Israel in 2 Kings 14. Well, check this out. The crazy part of the story, like, Jonah gets a commission to, like, hey, go to Nineveh, preach to these people, right? But from Jonah's viewpoint, this is like, it's almost impossible. Because you find out when you study the Bible that Nineveh was the capital of, like, a world power at the time. I mean, the Bible says it was a great city. This wasn't no little place. So basically, they had the power to wipe out God's people. And I want you to know something. The context of 2 Kings, the nation of Israel is not doing good. They are not right with their God. Matter of fact, Jonah proclaims and, like, helping them to get right. If you just go over a few chapters in 2 Kings and you hit 2 Kings chapter 17, I mean, it says in verse 7, for it was so that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God. And it just goes on and on. Keep reading the whole chapter. And it just says they served idols. They did not do the right thing. You get clear down towards the end of the chapter. And it says in verse 23, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets, so was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. So Jonah was sent, and he's trying to get God's people right. And we find out when they didn't listen, just several chapters later, that Syria, which, now just remember, Nineveh is like the capital of Syria. And so Jonah, think of this, Jonah's called to preach to these people. And yet in 2 Kings, like, think of this, like, if these Gentile people, like, if they get right with God, I mean, they're going to have the capability of literally just smashing God's people. Jonah knows the drill, man. He's a prophet. God could clean up Israel on the spot using these people if they decide to get right. The bottom line is this. Jonah knows that God's people is not right. God's people is not right with him. Now he's going to go to a group of Gentile people and they're going to get right. The very people that has the capability of whipping their tail, of dominating them. See, and also it says in that same chapter that the reigning king in Israel, Jeroboam, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Israel's not good. So, hey, just let me give you another point here, real simple. When God's people are not right with God, they're not going to be concerned about other people, right? Do you remember Jesus even said, Matthew 22, he said this, the first greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. The second commandment is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. When you don't love God with everything, you don't love people. Herein lies a problem. Jonah and God's people, they're not right with the Lord. And God comes to this prophet and says, I want you to go to preach to Nineveh. Whoa. He doesn't want to. So he flees from God. So let's just remember that, man. When we are not right with God, we do not want other people. We don't want other people to get right with God. We have no concern for them at all, right? We actually go into this selfish mentality. So just a great point, I think. It says in Jonah 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, and it calls it that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So Nineveh's wickedness has come up before God. God sees it. And so you know what God said? I want you to cry against it. And guys, never lose sight of this. Today we want all of our teaching and we want all of our preaching to be sweet, right? You want it to be like cherry chapstick, don't you? Everybody's, let's have a sucker together, right? Cup of coffee and a donut. That's how we like our church services. And yet the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, that God chose preaching. It's by the foolishness of preaching he chose to save people. Not teaching. It's not always sweet. These prophets in the Old Testament, man, sometimes it was fastballs. Hard across the plate, man, preaching. And did you know in 2 Peter 1:21, it talks about the Bible being inspired, but it says holy men spoke. They spoke as God's Spirit moved them. Sometimes we talk about inspiration of the Bible, God inspired it, like when the pen hit the paper. No, these guys spoke the word when the Spirit of God moved them. So just remember, God's word came to Jonah. And so the goal of him was to proclaim and to preach. It's the spoken word of God is very, very powerful. And it says here that he was supposed to go cry against that city. You know what's wrong with our pulpits today? We don't cry against sin anymore. We don't cry against wickedness. We want everybody to feel okay. Everybody to be happy. Church is supposed to be a feel-good, right? Not according to God's word. Not all of the time. We need to have, sometimes we need to have, when we're in wickedness, people cry against us. And that's exactly what Jonah was supposed to do, but he was not willing to do it. Look at verse 3. It says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So notice this. It says in verse 2, Jonah, arise, go and cry against the city of Nineveh. Arise. Well, guess what? He was half obedient because it says in verse 3, he rose, but he fled. He went from God's presence. So I guess I think there's a beautiful principle here, and that is we as Christians today, God's people, we can arise and preach or we can arise to flee. There's no middle ground. I think that's what God's saying to you and me here. Matthew 6 says we can't serve two masters, right? You'll love one and hate the other. And so Revelation 3 speaks of a church that's lukewarm. That's the church we live in today. Right in the middle, riding the fence, perfectly lukewarm. And the bottom line is this. You're either going to arise today and be obedient and preach against wickedness, or you're going to arise and you're going to flee from God's presence. And this is exactly what happens. Jonah, he decides he's going to flee God's presence. And it says, he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Hey, can I speak to you a few minutes about the presence of the Lord? The presence of the Lord. He fled from the presence of the Lord. You know, God's presence can be scary. In Exodus 20, God is speaking to Moses. Exodus 20, verses 18 and 19. God is speaking, and there's thunderings, there's lightnings, there's the noise of a trumpet, right? And it says in verse 21 that the people stood afar off. They were afraid. They said, Moses, you go. We're terrified of this. What about Psalms 97 and verse 5, where it says, the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. See, God's a mountain mover. That's his very presence. It'll melt a mountain, man. It's nothing for him. He brings the heat and the thunder. It'll melt. That's why I just seen that movie Woodlawn. And one of the things that keeps saying in the movie is just like, man, all things vastly change when God shows up. This is what happens when God shows up. See, the presence of the Lord is very powerful. Jeremiah even preaches in chapter 4, and he says, cities are broken down at his presence. God's presence can be pretty massive and intimidating, But remember this. At the beginning, Adam was created in the garden, and he walked hand in hand with the Lord. When there was no sin involved, God's presence was very refreshing. It was what he needed. But remember, God is holy. He's against sin. So when sin entered in, that's why things changed in that garden that day, right? You know what Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 says? Repent so that your sins can be blotted out, and then you'll have the times of refreshing. They'll come from the presence of the Lord. But when there's sin involved, the presence of the Lord, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like my mom, man. My mom loves me, man. She wants to hug me and hold me, and I'm her son, man, right? And all of a sudden, I'm out till 1 in the morning, true story, out till 1 in the morning. She locked the doors on me, but I broke into our house. I thought I was sneaky. I get to the top of the stairs, and there's my mom looking at me. Man, her presence wasn't so loving. I was fearful. I disappointed her. It was not good, right? And so you know how it is. It's like, your dad's fine and you love him and he's a good father to you. And all of a sudden, oh, you steal from him? You lie to him? Well, his presence, it finds you in a place of fear, doesn't it? It's very similar to God. His presence can bring you refreshing if we repent and realize who we are. But see, Jonah decides to go against God, not be obedient to him, and all of a sudden he's fleeing from his presence. God's presence is not a good thing. Hey, let me give you a little history in the Bible. Genesis 3:8, when Adam sinned, the Bible says he hid from the presence of the Lord. The next chapter, his son Cain comes in the story, and you know what Cain did? He went from the presence of the Lord once sin got involved. That's right. Even in the book of Job, when Job would go stand in God's presence and accuse God's people, you know what it says? He didn't last long there. Why? Because of his rebellious choices he's made. The Bible says he went from the presence of the Lord. He wanted to get away from God's presence, right? It's no different here in Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, we see in verse 3, sin is involved. Jonah does not want to go speak to these people. He does not want to be obedient to God. So he's going to flee from God's presence. Jonah went from the presence of the Lord. So just remember that. We want to flee from God's presence. Hey, did you notice what it said, though? It's a little small, but check this out in verse 3. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, we're not going to cover verse 5, but skip down there right now if you're at Jonah 1:5. It says, Then the guys in the boat were afraid. They cried every man unto his God. They cast forth the wares that were in the ship to lighten it of them, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. Then it says, he lay and he was fast asleep. He was laying down sleeping. There's like 4 references here that Jonah went down. And I think there's a beautiful point that we can learn here. And that is this. Anytime we go from God's presence, you're on the fast track downward. You're going down. Man, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 27, You know what it says? I think it's important to go there. So let's get there. Deuteronomy. Let's go to chapter 11. And I would just like to read a few verses to you. Verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord. Do you see that? Read the whole chapter. It's a great chapter. The bottom line is this. You don't want to do what's right. You don't want to do the commandments of the Lord and obey the Bible. That's your choice. But my friend, you're going down. Yeah, you can never keep going left and expect to be right. It's not going to happen. There's a curse involved with it. And maybe you find yourself in that position today. You wonder why your life is just feels like, man, nothing goes right. I just feel like I'm always getting beat down. Hey, weigh this out. Are you obeying the Lord? And I'm not preaching a prosperity here because I know sometimes things are tough for the man and the women of God. I believe that. But if you flee from God's presence, my friend, you're going down. Nobody can go against God and win. Nobody. Notice it says that he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And then it says, so he paid the fare thereof. Isn't that interesting? So he flees from God's presence. He's going downward, right? He's going down. And all of a sudden, you know what he does? He pays the fare. Ready for another point? It's a great point. You want to obey God? When God orders something, he pays for it. You want to go against God? You'll pay the price. We all do, don't we? What a great point. Romans 6:23 says there's a wage of sin. The wage of sin is death. There's always wages, right? And so for you and me, if we want to order our own lives, it's just going to come with a high price tag. And me and you are going to pay that price. That's exactly what happens with Jonah, man. I do not want to be in that spot, man. I don't know about you. You always end up going down. And then it says, he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It says it again. I want to bring up one last thing in closing, and that is this. It says, you know, he rose up, you know, to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that comical? Like, it's funny to me. He's going to run from the presence of the Lord. You know what Psalms 139 says? Check this out. Let's go to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms 139 says this. It says, looking for it. Let me skip down to verse 8, just 139:8. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light in me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light both are alike to thee. Basically, the whole chapter is basically, like, you cannot run from God's presence. You know what running from God's presence is like? Have you ever tried to catch a fish with your bare hands? Man, I've had little aquariums at my house. I'm trying to catch them, and they can't get away. And I still have a hard time catching them. Can you imagine being in the ocean? You know, being in the ocean, it's like trying to outswim a dolphin. That's like running from God's presence. It's not going to happen, right? That's like the little girl that gets in bed at night and puts, you know, she gets under the sheet and she's like, now you can't see me. You know, I had a nephew that when he'd get in trouble, he would stand in the room and he would look upward with his eyes. It always looked real creepy. He'd look upwards when he was getting in trouble because he felt like he couldn't be seen. You know, it's like when you're a dad and your little kids play and, you know, hey, dad, catch me. You're in a house. Your kid's barely able to run. He just learned to walk and he loves you to play chase and try to catch him. It's not even really a game. There's no competition there, is there? That's exactly how this is. It's the biggest joke that Satan's ever pulled on mankind, that you think you can run from God's presence. Hebrews 4:13 says this, all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Everything's open to God and naked and exposed before him. What is it that we think? You know, I like when people, you know, they get upset and they're like, that's it, we're leaving the church. But you think that's where God dwells? If you know Jesus Christ, man, he's living inside of you. Where are you going to run from his presence? Where? It can't be done. It's kind of a joke, isn't it? So it's like Jonah thought that only God like dwelt in these temples, right? And yet that's God is only in the holy temple. And yet like God cannot guide the schools of fish in the Mediterranean, right? You know what Jonah found out? He found out differently. He paid that price, got in that boat, and we know what's going to happen. We're going to read the rest of the story. When they toss him out, God prepares a whale to swallow him, and he's going to realize that, man, the miracle of the story is that whale listened. God's presence was there. Jonah could not run. It's a joke. So you ready? Let me give a very quick recap of the points we've made today. Everything can be right, and you can still choose wrong, right? His name means dove, spirit. His dad's the word of God, right? The next point we learned was that God's people, when they're not right with God, they're not concerned about others. We've seen that with Jonah. God's people, they're not right with God at this point, and so Jonah really wanted nothing with seeing Nineveh, a group of Gentiles getting right. You either are going to rise to preach and be obedient, or you're going to arise to flee. We're going to rise up to obedience or disobedience. There's no middle ground here. Don't fool yourself. Another point we learned is God's presence cannot be escaped. You can't escape God's presence, right? We just talked about that. If you oppose God or go against his presence, you're always going down. You'll never do right. And remember this. When we choose to disobey God, you'll always pay the price. If you obey God, he pays the price. But you obey God or pay the fare yourself. So that's our start, man. Our intro of the book of Jonah. I think it's going to be a good one, man. Super practical, really great. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you'll tune in next week to us where we'll pick up right here in Jonah chapter 1 in verse 4.